Intraventricular hemorrhage is a significant cause of mortality and morbidity worldwide. Treating it with intraventricular fibrinolytic therapy via a catheter is becoming an increasingly utilized intervention. But what is the role of this treatment in hypertensive intraventricular hemorrhage patients? And what are the effect sizes for survival as well as level of function at differing time points? I'm Carmen Leif-Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke, and I spoke to Alexandra Baker and Chrissia Riviera-Perla from Johns Hopkins Hospital, Baltimore, Maryland. They are the joint first editors for the article Fibrinolytic for Treatment of Intraventricular Hemorrhage, a Meta-Analysis and Systematic Review.
My name is Chrissia Riviera-Perla. I am a current medical student at the Warren Alpert Medical School at Brown University. The work that we're about to present now came about through my time at the Brain Injury Outcomes Division of Johns Hopkins Hospital.
Hello, I am Alexandra Baker. I am a current medical student at the University of Central Florida, and this work came from my gap year where I worked at the Johns Hopkins Hospital in the Department of Neurology with the Brain Injury Outcomes team.
So what is intraventricular hemorrhage?
Intraventricular hemorrhage is bleeding into the brain's ventricular system, which can be caused by a range of etiologies such as trauma, hypertension, arteriovenous malformations, aneurysms, and much more. It may also accompany intracerebral hemorrhage, or it can exist in the ventricles without parenchymal involvement. It is estimated that approximately 40 to 50% of all ICH patients also experience an IVH. The mortality rate for IVH is about 50%. It is also important to note that IVH is an independent predictor of mortality. It increases rates of mortality and morbidity worldwide through complications, including high intracranial pressure, obstructive hydrocephalus, and exposure to toxic blood degradation products. About 40 to 50,000 patients in the United States and 1.5 million worldwide experience an IVH. Thus, it is important to better understand the disease and a possible treatment.
So what role then does the intraventricular fibrinolytic treatment play in treating this condition?
Well, intraventricular fibrinolytic treatment via an extraventricular drain in patients with hypertensive etiologies shows trends for increased use. EVD alone has been shown to relieve intracranial pressure through the drainage of cerebral spinal fluid, but it does not expedite clot removal or removal of the hemorrhage. It has been demonstrated that a fibrinolytic injected directly into the ventricles speeds clot degradation, opening all or part of the ventricular system, reducing mass effect, and limiting brain exposure to toxic blood products. The CLEAR-3 study showed that fibrinolytic use actually shortened the use of an extraventricular drain by approximately 1 day when fibrinolytic was used compared to a saline treatment. The use of fibrinolytic also opened the ventricular system in approximate 2 days compared to 5 days with saline. So this and other studies have shown that faster clot removal and greater clot removal both not only lower mortality rates, but it may also improve functional outcomes for patients.
Well, so what's the effect size for survival? Is it increased with this treatment?
Yes, it is. So at 30 days, our meta-analysis found that 85% of patients in the treatment group survived compared to 70% of patients in the control group. This is actually a trend that continued through day 365, where 80% of the patients in the treatment group survived compared to 65% of patients in the control group. With this treatment, survival is increased throughout the entire follow-up period included in this analysis.
What are the levels of function at differing time points?
IVH is a devastating disease with a complex and prolonged recovery process. Many of the studies we looked at record functional outcome using different methods, including the Glasgow Outcome Scale and the Modified Rankine Scale. Similarly, there is a lot of variation in outcome time points. Most commonly, studies are recording functional outcome at 30 days, but some papers are recording their patients' recovery all the way up to a year. And as more data becomes available at different time points, we'll be able to develop a more detailed picture. But with the data we currently have, patients are functioning at about a Rankine 4 or 5 at 30 days. And by 6 months, about 45% of them are at or above an MRS of 3. And an MRS of 3 is considered a moderate disability where patients are able to walk without assistance, but they need a little bit of help with everyday tasks.
And is this targeted therapy potentially going to change clinical practice? And if so, how so?
Fibromyalgia treatment may offer IVH patients a targeted therapy, and it appears to produce meaningful mortality and functional outcome benefits. However, there really is a need for a randomized control trial. Right now, we are hopeful that this treatment can be part of clinical practice, but there is still a lot of equipoise about fibromyalgia treatment. And we performed this analysis to see if some of the hypotheses and findings in CLEAR 3 were demonstrated across the literature, most importantly, a mortality benefit and a trend towards better functional outcome. But overall, we suggest that there may be a benefit, but we really need to test it in a large-scale randomized clinical trial before any clinical practice will change. And if the current data trends remain consistent, then we need to use more EVDs, place them earlier, and adhere to strict safety protocols.
You've been listening to a podcast interview with Alexandra Baker and Chrissia Riviera-Perla and Carmen Lev-Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke. The International Journal of Stroke is the flagship publication of the World Stroke Organization. We are dedicated to reducing the global burden of stroke. Please consider becoming a member.